Okay, let's get started. Haggadah Shir Tavshin Ayin Tes. Again, this week we'll not take a break from the Parsha Shir, but instead we'll be having the Haggadah Shir Ben Hashem. We'll pick up with the Parsha Shir after Yantif. Again, we'll be 1 week ahead here in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of weeks. But we'll get back to Parshas Kedoshim, I think it is, after Yantif every Wednesday night here in the Shul. Okay, as we do every year, we go through the Haggadah. Start as far as we can, different thoughts on each paragraph, on each part. Most of what I'll be saying, Be'ezus Hashem, will be what you see in front of you, the new packet for this year. I'll throw in some other oldies but goodies, but if one's never heard them, they're not so old. But Be'ezus Hashem, we'll just mention a few others in passing, but I'll try to stick to the to what is in front of us. And I'll start off with something that actually is not on the sheet that we've had in past years, and that is the Simanim. It's always good to talk about the Simanim at the beginning. What exactly is the message of the Simanim? So one of the Rebbes says, one of the Hasidic Rebbes say, that Simanim we find in the second parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. If somebody loses an item, then they have to produce signs, Simanim, in order to identify their lost item. If I find something, if you tell me a Simin, so that gives identity. That allows the finder and obligates the finder to return the lost item. The Seder is a night that we find ourselves. The Seder is a night that it's our national birthday. We go back to basics. We give our simanim. Through these simanim, we can identify ourselves. Through the messages of Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, all the way till Nirtza. One of my talmidim asked me last week, what's Nirtza? Right, what are we supposed to feel by Nirtza? The point is that we're supposed to feel merutzeh. We're supposed to feel so connected. We're supposed to feel in the zone of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the end, and that's why it's even nirtzeh, it's even in the nifal. It's supposed to memela happen to us, is we've gone through the whole process. But it's a process of finding ourselves, finding the simanim, giving the simanim, and Be'ezus Hashem in that way, achieving what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. As we have mentioned, there are those that say that this is the hardest mitzvah of the year, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we are obligated, and we have to do our best in feeling as if we went out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so we start off with all the mitzvahs halayla. There are many, many mitzvahs halayla. There are unique mitzvahs for the night. Tu daraisa, tu drabanan, bizman hazeh. As we know, Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim and Matzah are the mitzvahs daraisa. Moror and Dalad Kosos are the mitzvahs drabanan, along with many other mitzvahs throughout the night. The Vilna Gaon is said to have said there are more than 50 mitzvahs that we do in the evening. Many mitzvahs, but before any mitzvah, we need to prepare for the mitzvah. There are those that have the custom by many mitzvahs. There are those that don't say it the whole year, but have the custom, because it's in the Haggadah, to say Hineni Muchen Mezuman, to say a little tefillah before they perform any of the mitzvos. If you have in the first page of Rav Pinkus' Haggadah, Hineni Muchen Mezuman, we're not going to get into the propriety of saying it or not saying it, whether one has the minhag or not, but either way, the idea is hachana. The idea is, I am getting ready for the mitzvos. Everything in life has to do with the preparation that we do for it. Anything. If there's a game, the more we prepare for the game, the more the game is going to be meaningful. The more we prepare for Shabbos, the more we're going to get out of Shabbos. The more we prepare for any experience in life, the more we get out of that experience in life. And Rav Pinkus says, we have to view everything as hachana. He gives the mashal of somebody traveling, and he's schlepping, and he finally gets to his destination, and it's a far trip, and he gets home, and he has to daven. What's his davening going to look like after a couple of days of traveling? He's exhausted. He's wiped. It's a little tough. A little tough to have kavanah. The Rambam even says, we don't paskin this way. You shouldn't daven for a couple of days until you could be in the proper mindset. So we don't paskin that way, because then we'd be waiting a very long time. But that is, we paskin that, okay, you do the best you can. But let's say somebody is traveling to a yeshiva. And they're traveling for days, and they're exhausted, and they're wiped, and it's takes everything out, but they finally get there after a week, 2 weeks. It takes a long time. My grandfather came to Palestine in the 1920s to learn, month by boat, by train. He gets there. But there, everything up until that moment was hachana. So that first tefillah, when I get to the destination, is going to have all of those weeks of tircha and sweating and schlepping. It's all going to come out, because everything, it was viewed as a process. It's not just, oh, afterwards. It's all gearing up towards that moment. And that's how we have to view every moment in the Seder and every mitzvah. Right before we do, we have to think about what I'm going to do. What am I supposed to think about? What is this mitzvah supposed to accomplish? What am I remembering? What am I reliving as I go through the mitzvah? Kadesh, Urchatz, Kadesh, the first coast, the second coast. Right? It's even halachically, we mentioned this in the past, but we know there's a machlokas rishonim, how many bori priyagafens we're supposed to say at the Seder. Ashkenazic custom is to say four bori priyagafens, like the Shita of the Rush. But if we think about it, Svartic custom is to say only two bori priyagafens. Why? Because, after all, the first and the third bori priyagafen needs to be said for Hilchas Brachos. The first one we never said at Bori Paragafen before, and the second one, the third one is right after benching. So we understand that, you know, it's needed. But two and four, especially number four, the fourth Bori Paragafen, 5 minutes ago we said a Bori Paragafen on the third cup. Why are we saying another Bori Paragafen on the fourth cup? That's what the Sephardic custom, like the Rambam, is to say two Bori Paragafens. But the Ashkenazic is four. Why? Because every one is a separate mitzvah. We're not just drinking four kosos. Every kos has its own message, its own essence. And that even gets its own Bori Paragafen. Hilchas Pesach redefines Hilchas Brachos. And because it's a separate mitzvah, that is why we make a separate bracha. And it's just things to think about before everything we do at the Seder. Everything should be announced. What are we doing now? Why are we doing it? Just basics. Without all of the Divrei Torah, which obviously we have to have also. But just to know what we're doing, and the more we focus on it beforehand, the more we could get at it. So, by way of preparation, we spoke about preparation. And now we get into the Simanim, Kadesh. Kadesh, of course, is Kiddush, as we turn over to the royal table from Rabbi Lam. Page number two. Throughout Pesach, we call Pesach Zman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. Rabbi Lam notes that all of Jewish history is really a time of remembering freedom gotten and freedom lost. And it's an up and down graph. If we think about the physical essence of our existence, all of Jewish history isn't a matter of speaking a long record of freedom lost and regained, a drama of gullus and geula. It is as if Jewish history were really a large Seder table, where sometimes we drink the four cups and are heady with freedom, and then bite into some bitter herbs and experience the agony of subjugation. We go up and down. Gullus and geula, gullus and geula. And most of the time, as Rabbi Lam says, it's like matzah. Because matzah reminds us of both. When has there been a perfect time period? There's been a lot of purely terrible time periods. But a lot of the time in the past 2,000 years, a lot of it was terrible, and a lot of it was, even when it was okay, it was just okay. Matzah Isman, we remember the halach ma'anya diachalo of asana, but it's also the matzah that we went out quickly. And this is the matzah that we were deemed with. Lechem ani and lechem oni. She'onem aladvarim harbe, as Rashi says, im sachem halel. So most of Jewish history is like matzah. But on Pesach, we call the day Zman Cheruseinu. Because deep, deep down, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, ein lecha ben chorin elamisha yasok batorah. The greatest freedom that we have is to be free from our own subjugations and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I mentioned in a shir a couple of months ago, the story of a Rav who did not grow up frum, and he tells the story that the first time, first Shabbos, he was decided that he was going to try to keep Shabbos. He was in a yeshiva, and he came back to his dorm room, and the lights left on. And he says to himself, oh, man. Well, I'm just starting. I didn't really start yet. I'll start next week. I'll start after I turn off the light. But I said I was going to give it a fair chance. But I didn't know what to do. So finally he said, you know what? I'm not going to touch it. I'll just go to sleep. He didn't sleep as well. He twisted and turned in bed. And he woke up the next morning a little tired, but exhilarated. Because he said, I never felt free before in my life. I felt free because I was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesach brings us back to Zman Cheruseinu, the moment of our freedom, because ultimately we're free. And that's exactly what we mentioned a number of years ago. The heart-wrenching tshuva, the tshuvas mi'amakim, Rav Ushri, and his tshuvas from the Holocaust, where he was asked, just reading the table of contents is a Tisha B'Av activity. But right, he writes that he was asked, am I allowed to say, Shalo Asani Oved? He was asked by Rachman Litzlan, a fellow Jew. And Rav Ashri responds, after giving a long 3-4 page shuva, yes. Because they can't take that chayrus away from us. Shalo Asani Oved means I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm chayiv in 613 mitzvos. Pesach is when that idea was born. And that's what we say in Kiddush, Zman Chayruseinu. Pesach is the day that we gained our freedom and became Avdei Hashem. Moving right along to Orchatz. One of those questions that is in every single Haggadah. Why does Orchatz have a Vav? You know, none of the other Simanim have a Vav. Kaddish, V'Orchatz, V'Karpas, V'Yachatz, V'Magin. No, just Orchatz. The only one that gets a Vav, obviously connecting Kaddish to Orchatz. What is the connection? So if you look, Rabbi Sender writes in the Commentator Seder, one of his few Haggadahs, he writes, again, this is mentioned by others as well, usually we have the principle of Sur Meirav Aseh Tov. We first have to rid ourselves and clean ourselves of our faults and our stains, and then Aseh Tov, and then positive, and then sanctify. Right? We can't jump into a mikvah if we have holding a sheretz, as Chazal say. Sur Meirav Aseh Tov. Seder night is a rule breaker. Seder night, just jump in. Seder night, we have faults, we have problems. Just jump in. Sanctify yourself. Usually it should be rachatz, first wash ourselves, and then kadesh. And then sanctify. But when it comes to the night of the Seder, you know what, just jump in. Kadesh! Very quickly, you better do urchatz. Because it's not going to last. But one is allowed to break the rules. Have Kaddish first. But the Vav is there to make sure we remember right away to do Urchatz. And he says, sometimes, you know, there's another time in history, during the year, well, maybe we don't do it quickly enough. Right? Yom Kippur is another opportunity where we're able to, the whole time, yes, Elul, and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But once we get to Yom Kippur, you know, we also have the chance to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Many point out there's only two Seders the whole year. Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim and Leil HaSeder. This parallel, two nights that many of the minhag to wear a kittel. Right? Yom Kippur and Leil HaSeder have a lot of parallels to them. Says the commentator Seder, says Rabbi Sender here, on Yom Kippur, a lot of times we do the Aseh Tov, but we don't focus so much on the Sur Meirah, so we fall back into bad habits after Yom Kippur. If we would have the Sur Meirah right away, along with, bad babad, with the Aseh Tov, maybe it could last a little longer. And that's the Vav. Kaddish, but very quickly. Use the opportunity of the Seder to capitalize. But remember, very quickly, we have to look back and hopefully gain perspective through the Seder experience, and in that way be able to perfect ourselves and get the most out of the Leil HaSeder. So Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, we won't focus on this year. We've spoken that past years. Yachatz. It's just one Ha'ara. One ha'ara from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. When it comes to yachatz, you know, many a business deal takes place by yachatz. Right, okay, I have it. What's in it for me? You know, how much do you want to get that afikoman back? Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu just teaches us to teach our children and grandchildren what to ask for at the Seder. That is not a time to ask for things that Moshe Rabbeinu would not approve of. Let's say that. You know, it's the Afikomen. It's the Karban Pesach. So we have to teach them. And if they ask for something, we could say, maybe that's a birthday present, but that's not a Seder present. Right? That's not something that we should be asking for. Yesh lahadrichas hayiladim shelo levakesh prasim chasrei erech v'chashivus kimischakim v'chadome ela prasim mashmutiyim kisifrei kodesh. He says a couple of years beforehand, a child asked his father, I want tefillin like Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's. So the father came to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu and said, what do I do? He says, here's the address, go buy tefillin. Your son asked for it, that's what you have to give him. What? Ask for a chavruso with your father. Ask for this, ask for that. Ask, well, let's do a chesed opportunity every Thursday night. We'll go deliver, we'll go pack, whatever it is. Teach them what's valuable. Teach them, this is what I ask for. It's the Leil HaSeder, it's the Afikomen, it's surrounded by Kedusha. Years ago, we spoke about Rav Shlomo Zalman always said, never call it stealing the Afikomen. Taking the Afikomen, you know, borrowing, you know, however one wants to use it, but not stealing, because a Jew doesn't steal, even as a joke. Right? Taking it and what to ask for, everything can be used for a teachable moment and a learning opportunity. And that, of course, brings us to Magid. Magid, where most of our experience is supposed to be had in the intellectual experience, obviously we have a lot of props. The whole Seder, we have props. Right? We have wine, we have matzah, we have karpas, we have maror, we have the whole Seder plate. But Magid is about tochen. Not Magid is about the words that we use and that we talk. Last year, Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, if you remember, was about Pesach. And it's a lot about teaching, a lot about words. So we start off with Halach Ma'anya. A couple of questions. Number one, again, popular question. Why is this the only paragraph in the Haggadah that is in Aramit, that is in Aramaic? Halach Ma'anya. Question two. Again, another popular question. It seems a little late to invite guests at this time in the Pesach preparatory process. Right, Halach Ma'ani De'achol of Asana, Kol Dich Min Yesev Yechol. Right, we don't even open the door, as we do later in the Seder. And yet, Kol Dich Min Yesev Yechol, Kol Dich Min Yesev Yifsach. Right, whoever wants to come and eat, right, we should do that in Shul. Right, why are we doing that at the Seder? Obviously, it's symbolic of something. It's not a real invitation. So what exactly is it? So we've discussed in the past, maybe it's a reflection of being a Ben Chorin, because the butler doesn't invite people to the table. Right, it's only the Baal HaBayis. So the fact that one can invite reflects Cheirus. One idea, I think Rav Soloveitchik said that. But maybe there's another idea. And third question, that if you look here in Rabbi Bernstein in his Haggadah, it's page number 6, Rabbi Bernstein says, all three lines of Halach Ma'anya don't seem to be connected to each other. Halach Ma'anya di'achal avasana, this is the poor man's bread. Next line, whoever wants to come and eat, is that really connected? This is the poor man's bread that we ate in Mitzrayim. And then, called Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Third line, Lashon Haba Yerushalayim. Lashon Haba Shata Hacha, Lashon Haba Barad Yisrael, Hashata Avdi, Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin. What is the connection between those three lines of Halach Ma'anya, which is really the introduction to the Magid? It's really the introduction. Some say, is it Magid? Is it an introduction to Magid? Question, okay, either way, it's like Mizmor Shir Chanukas. Is it Pesukah Dezimra? Is it an introduction? Right, Ashkenazim say it before Baruch Sha'amar, Sfaradim say it after Baruch Sha'amar. Certain things, where does it start? Where does it start? Vayosh Hashem, is that part of Az Yashir? Is it an introduction to Az Yashir? Do you do it in the special tune? So Halach Ma'anya. So Rabbi Bernstein suggests, quoting Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi. Rabbi Ashkenazi was the author of the Maaseh Hashem, 1513 to 1586. He's a grandson of the Maharik. He also wrote the Yosef Lekach on Megillas Esther, which we've quoted in the past. But quotes, says Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, this paragraph is the breaking of the glass of Leil HaSeder. What we do at a wedding, at the end of the ceremony, is what we're going to do here at the beginning of the ceremony. We're about to feel as if we went out of Mitzrayim, or try to feel as if we went out of Mitzrayim. At the beginning and at the end, we remember that it's not complete. We remember that something's missing. At the beginning, Halach Ma'ani, as we'll explain, at the end, we have Gal Yisrael, the Minhag of Eggs, which we've mentioned many times. We remember it's not complete. Halach Ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread, the achon that we ate in Mitzrayim. And you know what? Mitzrayim was the source of all galus. All exiles that followed Mitzrayim, the source of it is Mitzrayim, as we'll talk about a little bit later also. And therefore, right before we start, we say this is the beginning of the galus. We invite. What do we invite? Fascinating. When we used to have a Karban Pesach, and Bez Hashem, when we will, one had to be part of a group before Shchitas HaPesach. You couldn't just like come. Guys, I'm here. We couldn't like, you know, surprise, we're here for the Seder. No, you have to be appointed as part of the Karban Pesach before Shchita. We invite as a reflection of the pain that we have that we don't have Karban Pesach. I'm doing inviting as if to show, you know what, we don't have the Korban Pesach, so I can invite you now. Because in the days of the old, we couldn't invite. And I'm yearning for the day that I can't invite anymore at the Seder. And it'll be too late, because I had to be Nimne before Shechitas HaPesach, before the slaughtering of the Korban. And that's why the paragraph ends, Hashata Hacha, L'shana Haba Ba'aradi Yisrael. It's a hope. It's a recognition of reality, and it's a hope for destiny. All at once, in one paragraph. It's an acknowledgement of the pain, of the lack, but it also expresses our hope, and that's how we start. Halach Ma'anya encapsulates the entire evening. The Maschel B'Gnusum Sayim Mishmach, it's all in that paragraph. Three lines. Hashata Hacha, that's Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. Right, that's Mesayim B'Shvach. And that's what he calls it. Rabbi Bernstein has that great line. Halach Ma'anya is the breaking of the glass at Seder night. And that's why it's in Aramaic. Because we remember we're still in Galus. Even if we have the schus of an Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Akonim, Bavodasim, Levim, B'Duchanam. And all that is needed for a Geula Shlema. Okay. Halach Ma'anya takes us now into Manishtana. Manishtana alayla zemi kol halelos. Is it a question? Is it a statement? Remember the Aruch HaShulchan based on the Rambam. Manishtana, how different and awesome is this night? Night like Marabu Masach Hashem. How amazing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma doesn't only mean a question. It's Meduyuk in the Lashon Rambam that it's a statement. But again, the Pshuto Shel Hadvarim is that it is a question. And again, remember, this is one of the oldest parts of the Seder. Oldest parts of the Agada. The Agada is layer upon layer upon layer. We think about, what's the oldest part of the Agada? The Torah. Right? There are psukim in the Agada. Right? That's the oldest part of the Agada. But then, Mishnayos. Very, very early. 2,000 years. Right? Mishnayos. Manishtana. Some of the Seder is early. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Kol B'Shalosh Dvarim. Lo Yoseh Chavaso. And then over time, Dayenu got in the 1500s. Right, there's a Echad Miyodeya, I don't exactly know when, but Manishtan, question. This is from the Haggadah, Vitalmudo Biyado. Left side. There's a lack of parallelism. Right, we say later on in the Manishtana, all other nights of the year we eat, Bein Yoshvin, Uvein Mesubin. Halayla Hazek, Kulanu Mesubin. Bein. Why in the first line don't we say the whole year we eat bein chametz, bein matzah? Halayla hazeh kula matzah. No, we don't say that. We say all of the nights anu ochlem chametz u'matzah. Really? We eat chametz and matzah every day? Really? Some people eat, try to stretch the matzah. But I would assume Hanukkah time most people aren't eating matzah. At most. So what does that mean? We should say, Bein Chametz, okay, if we run out of Lecha Mishnah for Shalashudis, we'll go to the matzah, and we'll get the Lecha Mishnah. You get the impression that you eat both, not either or. Bein Yoshvin, Bein Mesumin means either or. Chametz and matzah sounds like both. And why don't we just say, Anu Ochlim Chametz? Right, that's what we generally eat, even if it's matzah. A lot of times it's chametz stick matzah. So he explains. The Nir Lefarish on the left side. Lefim HaShakaswa Mefarshim, and the Makar is in the Zohar. Right? The Makar is in the Zohar. That Korban Pesach has a special kind of identity. Again, a different topic that we discussed a couple of years ago. But according to a number of early sources, Korban Pesach is a Korban Toda. Somewhat. A different type of Korban Toda. A unique type of Korban Toda. That's not subject to the regular rules of Korban Toda. But it's a type of Korban Toma. They're both Kachet Kalim. They're both in the category where non-Kohanim are allowed to eat them. Korban Toda and Korban Pesach. And the Mefarshim point out that the four events that obligate a person to bring a Korban Toda, we went through all of them in the Mitzrayim experience. Right? We were sick and tortured. Chole, right? We were Yam. We went through the Yam. We went through the Midbar, right? We had Yisurim, we're like in jail. So we went through all the experiences. The Rashi Tevos. So we went through. What does a Karban Todah usually have? 40 loaves, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. Every Karban Todah, one of the exceptions to the rule of Karban Mincha, most Karbanis Mincha are only matzah, very little chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. But one exception to the rule is Karban Todah. Karban Todah has both. Suggest the Talmud B'Yado, that's what we're talking about in Manishtana. Shebechol halilos, on all other nights of the year, when we bring a Karban Todah, anu ochlim chametz u'matzah. We have both. That's stam, whatever we eat. We have cereal in the morning. We're referring to the parallel to the Karban Pesach. All other nights of the year, we eat the Karban with chametz u'matzah. Halayla hazeh kulo matzah. And this Karban Todah is only matzah. This Karban Todah is different. V'zeo sheshoal haben in the middle. Ki b'chol halilos asher bohem anu ochlem lachmei todah. All other nights of the year, when we eat lachmei todah, it's necheles liyom v'layla anu ochlem chametzu matzah. We eat both. Sher barbam chalos todah, yeshno masor lachmei matzah, v'shloshem lachmei chametz. And tonight, only this. And what does the father answer? This one's different. This is a different karban todah. This is a matzah night. V'lo hispik b'tzeikam, right, their dough didn't have time to rise. And this is a different type of Toda, and that is the answer that the father would give. But at root, it's Toda. And if we think about it, just parenthetically, the whole night, if we could capture the entire night of Pesach, in a word, Hoda. That's the message. The message is Hoda. One of the answers to the question of, we darshim psukim, right, later on in the Seder. We darshim psukim from Kisavo. Mikra Bikurim. Why do we pick Mikra Bikurim? There aren't enough psukim in Shmos to darshan. They give darshan any part va'era bo b'shalach. Many answers. One answer is that Mikra Bikurim is all about Hoda'ah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you brought me into Eretz Yisrael, you gave me the fruit, I come to Eretz, but the Beis HaMikdash. So we capture Hoda'ah already here. Dayenu is about Hoda'ah. Right? So much Hoda'ah in the night. It's a nice idea. To go around at some point during the Seder. Think about something that one can give Hoda for. You can't say something that somebody else said already. That has to be the rule. Because everybody will say the same thing. Or to think about it beforehand. Send a family WhatsApp beforehand. Write a paragraph about Hoda before the Seder. And they can bring it to the Seder. Give people time to think. Something to think. Everybody has something to be Modeh for. Okay. So Manishtana and goes into Avadim Hayidu. We come to Rabbi Lau, source page number 8 from his Agada, and he deals with the question that many deal with. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim? Some say there is, Yoti with Kiddush, Yoti with Ashar Galanu, right? different brachas, the Nesivis. You don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's done in the context of other brachos. Various answers given. Says Rabbi Lau, again a popular answer. He quotes it from the Chassam Sofer. You only make a bracha. Chazal were only misaking a bracha on a mitzvah that I could say the bracha and do it and then say, done. Right? I put on tefillin. I wear tefillin. The second I put tefillin on, I'm yotze. The second I shake a lulav, I pick up the lulav, I'm yotze. If you could say done, so then you make a bracha. Even if I could do it for longer, the next 10 minutes wearing tefillin doesn't affect the fact that I've already done the mitzvah beforehand. It doesn't qualitatively change what I did earlier. It's a quantitative. It's a quantitative jump, but it's not a qualitative connection. Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim has no shear. There's a minimum kind of, but, as the Chassam Sofer explains, when can you say, finish, done, you never finished. Right, the mitzvah is, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is, ad shetechatfenu sheina, until I fall asleep. I have to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim until I can't anymore, until I'm ba'ones. Once I'm ba'ones and I can't focus, okay, now you're done. But until that point, not. So there's no shir. No bracha. Chazal were misaken a bracha on finite actions. Says Rabbi Lau, maybe that's what the Haggadah means. In this paragraph in Avadah Mayinu. Mitzvah aleinu l'sapar b'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Where's the bracha? In the very next line. That explains why there's no bracha on the mitzvah. Mitzvah l'saper, but I know there's no bracha. And whenever there's not a... when every mitzvah that we do, if there's no bracha, there's a reason for it. The Rashba, Netshuva, Simen Yud Ches, and Chelek Aleph go through 100 mitzvahs, which don't have brachas. Why isn't there a bracha? Every mitzvah should get a bracha, unless there's a reason for it. What's the reason here? No shir. Rabbi Leal says that idea is embedded in Avadim Ayinu. The Cholamar B'Lasaper is the reason why there is no bracha. Okay, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer. There are shorter ones and then there are longer ones. You have to know what stage of the Seder you know one is at. One is allowed to say this, I say this every year, but one is allowed to talk about Torah during the day meal as well. You know, Shabbos HaGadol even, there's no Baal Tosif, we'll get to that a little bit later, but there's no Baal Tosif about Divrei Torah. Good. So we get to the rabbis that are all together, and they're talking, they're all by Rabbi Akiva and Bnei Brak, as we know, they came to Rabbi Akiva, Dafka, as we discussed in the past, until the Talmidim come and say, they didn't know what time it was. They didn't know there was no like window shining through, the sun shining through the window. Okay, wasn't sun yet, but a little bright. No? Fascinating. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, one of the earliest sources that we have of Torah Sheba'al Peh written down. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is quoted here in the Haggadah called Idis Sheba'idis. It's the name of a Haggadah. So he quotes there from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that when Rabbi Eliezer, one of these five rabbis, when Rabbi Eliezer used to sit and learn Torah, look at the Lashon, he quotes it. Bahi Rabbi Eliezer, Yoshev v'doresh, upanav mi'iros k'arachama, his face shone like the sun. V'karnosav yotzos k'karnosav shel Moshe, v'ein adam yodea im yom v'im laila. His face shone like the sun and nobody knew whether it was day or night because it was so bright. It was like the middle of the daytime at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because his face was shining from the Torah. Higiyez Makriyashma. He was one of the five rabbis. And if it was him, maybe it was all of them. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't shine. Only Rabbi Eliezer shined. So, they didn't know. That's a nice one-liner. Okay. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, Harani Kivet Shivim Shana. And this pasuk, as we know, is about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just Sipur. And the question is asked here in the Haggadah Migdolei Yerushalayim, quoting for the Maharal Diskin. Why is it that we require, what does the Brisa say? It's a Brisa. It's a Mishnah Brisa, right? But it says that we have a special pasuk to teach me, Yemei Chayecha, Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavi Yemosa Mashiach, a special word to teach me that there's going to be a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim even when Mashiach comes. L'rabos Yimosa Mashiach. So even when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a mitzvah to Zochet, Zechira. Zechira Tzitzis Mitzrayim. And the question the Maharal Diskin asks is, well, what's the Havamina that there wouldn't be? The definition of a mitzvah is eternal. If a mitzvah is not eternal, it's not a mitzvah. There isn't a mitzvah in the 613, the Aveira of going to collect the mon on Shabbos. It says don't do that in the Torah, but that's not a mitzvah L'doros. The mitzvah has to be L'doros. So nothing's going to change when Mashiach comes. We're going to have all the mitzvos. So ask the Maharal Diskin, what do you need a special pasuk to teach me? Oh, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to apply even when Mashiach comes. No, it's going to apply always. So explains the Maharal Diskin. As is described in the Nevi'im, some listen to the Navi Shir. Shout out for the Navi Shir on the OU website. We're towards the second half of Yechezkel. But Yechezkel and Yeshayahu, they all talk about unbelievable prophecies that are going to occur when Mashiach comes. This Hashem will come back to also a little bit later. Unbelievable prophecies. The nevuos and the amazing miracles that are going to occur when Mashiach comes are going to totally dwarf Yetzias Mitzrayim. The makas are going to be like, makas. That was like God's pinky. You see what he did? Kibbutz Galios and Binyan Beis HaMikdash and all the nations recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's got to be pretty, that has to have something major. If all the other nations of the world are going to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the eight nations of the world can only agree on one thing now, who they're anti. But in terms of who they support, so says the Maharal Diskin, one might think that after Mashiach comes, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's nothing. We're going to have a mitzvah like that? It's going to be dwarfed. The answer is yes. Well, Rabos Yemosha Mashiach. Because the source of all Geula is Yitzias Mitzrayim. If, as we said before, the source of all Galus is Shibud Mitzrayim, the source of all Geula is Yitzias Mitzrayim. As we know, Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is pointed out by others also, Yitzias Mitzrayim did not happen in a minute. It was a process. It was a process. All the Makos, Mitzrayim, and then the Til Shvuis, right? So the Geula now. Beth Hashem, we're in the middle of the process, but, you know, it's a process. But we're not going to forget the beginning and the roots of it all, and that's what the Maharal Diskin says. Lahavi Yemosa Mashiach, we need a limud to teach. Okay. Moving right along to the Dalet Banim. The Dalet Banim. So one thought that we mentioned many times in other contexts on the bottom of the page, same page, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, but I don't think we ever mentioned it in the context here, in the Haggadah Shir, so I'll bring it now. As we come to the Dalet Banim and we think about education, and we think about teaching our children, our grandchildren, our family, it's important to remember the Ramah in Yaradeya. The Ramah in Yaradeya, in Simon Pei Aleph, quotes a chazal that we're all familiar with. A Jewish child should not nurse from an Egyptian woman. That's what the Ramah says. Lechadchila. Moyaniko tidok b'nei mitzris im efshar b'yisraelis. Why? Spiritual reasons. Okay, but where does that come from? We know it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi in Parsha Shmos quotes the chazal. Asid ledaber im hashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's inappropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu to drink from a mitzris. Asks Rabbi Yaakov on the Ramah. One second. This is about Moshe Rabbeinu. Asid ledaber im hashchina. What does that have to do with you and me? What is this doing in Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch is written as normative practice for all Jews. What does this say? Moshe Rabbeinu did not drink from a nachris, from a mitzris, because aslo daber im hashchina. So what does that have to do with me? Why is that in the Shulchan Aruch? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know what that teaches me? That every one of our children has to be looked at as a potential Moshe Rabbeinu. Every child, every friend, everybody is a potential. We have to give them the education and have the confidence in them of Asa L'daber Im Hashchina, and that's what Rabbi Yaakov says here in Parsha Shmos, and that is what we have to have in our mentality as we approach the Dalet Banim. And the first ban we have is the Chacham. The Chacham, the Rosh of the Tam, Ein Adiel L'Shol, this year we'll mention a thought on the Chacham. This is from Rav Pam's Haggadah. Rav Pam, amazing. We have one or two thoughts from Rav Pam, page number 10. Rapam notes that the Pasig in Daniel, in Perek Beis, says, Yohav Chachmisa Lechakimin. Page 10. The Pasig says that Hashem gives wisdom to the wise. Bottom right, and then it goes over to the left side. It's right then left. Ask Rapam, right? This is the Chacham. How does he get Chachma? Daniel says, Hashem gives wisdom to the wise. So how do you become wise in the first place in order to merit the wisdom that Hashem is going to give you if you're wise? Hashem gives wisdom to the wise. So how do you become wise? It's not fair. If I'm not wise, I'm never going to get the wisdom. What does that mean? You have chachma salach hakimin. How does that work? Wisdom to the wise? And it's the same thing with Bezalel. Bezalel had chachma and Hashem gave him chachma. Okay, how do you become a chacham in the first place? How does one acquire the initial wisdom? Says Rapam, the initial wisdom is the ratzon and the desire to have the wisdom. That's the first step. The first step of chachma is to want chachma. Shlomo HaMelech wanted the chachma, and therefore Hashem gave him the chachma. If we have a ratzon, if we have the desire for it, if we become a klei kibul in order to accept the shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're if we don't open up ourselves, then nothing's going to work. The original Chachma is the inspiration and the desire to acquire Chachma. If one possesses this prerequisite, Chachma, and truly desires to acquire further Chachma, a deeper understanding, then it could happen. It's the thirst. It's the ratzon. It's the tzimaon. The ratzon to always want more and desire more. I've quoted often, but I'll quote it here, if one is, that hasn't heard it before. The thought I heard from the Nishmat Avraham, Dr. Abraham. He says, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that there are seven midos of a chacham. Seven midos of a chacham. He doesn't interrupt people. He answers things in order that he was asked. All different midos. And one of the midos of a chacham is, va'asha lo shama, omar lo shamati. On what he didn't hear, he says, I didn't hear. Okay? That's the sign of a chacham. The Mishnah ends off, v'chilufein begolam. And the opposite is to a fool, to a boor. What's the opposite of, almasha lo shama, omar lo shamati? And what does that mean? Why is that a sign of wisdom anyway? Almasha lo shama, what I didn't hear, I didn't hear. No, that's he's just admitting. And what's the opposite? Almasha lo shama omar shamati? That's a liar. That's not a fool. If I say I heard it, I didn't hear it. What's the exact opposite of almasha lo shama omar lo shamati? Almasha shama omar shamati. That's the exact opposite. What I heard, I say I heard. What does that mean? Explain, Dr. Abraham, a lot of times in life, let's say we're at a shiur, and 59 minutes of the shiur is new. 1 minute of the shiur, the rabbi says something he said 8 years ago. Oh, I heard it all already. Rabbi's repeating himself. Can he come up with new material? The rabbi would answer, the chazan says the same things every year. But so the attitude of, I've heard that already. That's a bore. What's a chacham? 59 minutes could be a repeat. There's 1 minute that's new. There's a nuance. There's a way that it's expressed. There's a formulation. Oh, wow. Almasha lo shama amar lo shamati. Wow. I never heard that before. That's the first step to chachma, says Rav Pam. You have chachma sal chakimen. It's the desire to have chachma. The ratzon, the thirst, that will merit and allow a person to have more. Right? The famous story of the, well, we don't say it till the end, right? The rich man walks into the base medrash, Rosh Hashiva, you know, who's the best guy here I want for my daughter? Well, he's the best masmid, and he's the best lamdin, and he's the best amkin, and he's the best this. But this is the guy you want. It's like, what? He's not the best this, he's not the best that. What is he? He's the best mavakesh. He's the best mavakesh. And that was the stipler, right, in Europe. He's the best mavakesh. He wants it the most. We have to want it in order to be the chacham. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh, as we continue. Page 12. Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. I might think that you should start the mitzvah of CBT's Mitzrayim for Meirosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar, we say no, not earlier. Two thoughts. So first, this paragraph is the basis for a machlokas between the Ramah and the Gra. The Ramah quotes in first Simon, second Simon Hilchos Pesach, there's a minog to recite part of the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. From Avada Mayinu till after Dayenu. That's a minog that the Ramah quotes. The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, says, no, don't say it. Why? Because of this paragraph. Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh, you might think, Sarna Rosh Chodesh, no. B'shoah Sheis Matzor Bar Melachal Vadecha, don't do it beforehand. So this is a machlok, right? Obviously the Ramah doesn't think this is the basis to knock out the minhag. But the Shemana Tov here in his Agada, he focuses on the Gra, but I'll focus on both. You can learn something from both the Gra and the Ramah. The Ramah, what we spoke about earlier, Hachana. Life's about Hachana. The Haggadah will be very different if we focus on the Haggadah before the Seder. Just like I always tell my Talmidim, read over the Megillah before Purim. The Megillah experience will be different if you read over the Megillah. It's not like during the Megillah, I'm like, oh yeah, read it over. Just with Rashi, just our basic psukim. So the Ramah says, prepare. The Gra says, and both messages are important, and the Shemana Tov explains it, sometimes jumping the gun is baltosif, and it takes away from the magic of the moment. Now, you don't get credit for scoring during practice before the game. So yes, there's an idea of practice, but there's also an idea of treasuring the moment and not jumping the gun. And remembering that the Seder is the Seder. And it's Kodesh Kadoshim in time. And one doesn't want to take away from there. So say it, but don't say it like a Haggadah. Say it in a different way. The growers, they don't say it. But if one has that minug, again, the message is we can learn from both. Don't always think that more is better. Sometimes kolam osif goreya, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. That's Yachal Merish Chodesh. There's another idea on Yachal. I found it right after last year Pesach, so I wanted to make sure to put it in this year. In the Berach Chaim, on the top of the next page, top of 13, it's a drush on the phrase of Yachal Merish Chodesh. Yachal, he quotes it from the Beis Yisrael, right, the fifth Gera Rebbe, says the Yachal Merish Chodesh. Yachal, I might think that I only have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a time of his chadshus. Yachal Merish Chodesh. Only when I feel chiddush, when I feel like it's opening day, when I feel something's new, right? Tamalomer bayomahu. No. Bayomahu, each and every day. Each and every day. Ibayomahu yachol mibod yom. Maybe only when it's daytime, when I have clarity, when it's bright, when it's at least somewhat, you know, clear. Tamalomer bavur zeh. B'shash yesh matzah umarar. Munachan lafanecha. The Surah HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there's matzah and maror in front of us. Not only at times of ischachus, not only at times of yom, but even at times of matzah and maror, munachan lafanecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that we serve him. Okay, two thoughts on Yachal Merish Chodesh. And we move on to the next paragraph, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. So now we get into the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Same page. Rav and Shmuel, we know, we quote both of them. Maskil b'gnus is a machlokas in the Gemara, and Rav says that we should say mitchilo de avodah zara, focus on the spiritual lowliness. Shmuel says we should focus on avodah mayinu. We do both. Rav Aviner in his Agada points out, why do we do Shmuel first? Right. First we do avodah mayinu, and then we do later on here mitchilo de avodah zara hayavaseinu. Generally, the rule is we pass in like Rav unless it's dinei mamonos. Halacha kishmuel b'dinei. Pass in like Rav by Yisurim. Yisurim are mitzvos. So shouldn't we pass in like Rav? And if we're going to do both, do Rav first. Do Rav first. And he quotes that if you look in the Rambam's discussion of the Beis HaMikdash, he talks about, first is Rav. So why is it? So explains Rav Aviner. If you look closely in the Rambam, and what do we do today? We do Shmuel first. Why? Because our spiritual shibud is a flow, it flows from, and is a function of our physical shibud. If we didn't have what the Gemara calls in Brachas, shibud malchias, we'd be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much more. Right, the daga, the load of Shibun Malchius, of the world around us, and the heaviness of Parnassa, and all the other items that take up our clarity of mind, so that prevents us from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. So Avadim Ayinu is really step one. We are Avadim, and therefore, Mitzchili Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. And we're tasking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Rav Aviner says, as the Rambam says, quotes Shmuel, "Ein bein olam hazeh b'olam habayil, Shibun Malchias bovad." When Shibun Malchias is removed, when we go back, when Mashiach comes, we go back to when everybody and Eretz Yisrael expands its borders. It'll be a physical existence, but there won't be any physical challenges from the outside. We'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we put Shmuel first, as if to say, "Avodah Mayinu, that has to be removed, because that affected him. It's Mitzrayim. We were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but that was a function." Of Avodah Mayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim, and that led to Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu. Maybe, at a different time, we could talk about spirituality first, because that's obviously the goal. But Rav Aviner says that's the process, and that's why we put Avodah Mayinu first. He writes on the top: Bigolus Magdimim Avodah Mayinu, Ubigeula Magdimim Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu, as he writes in the continuation. Okay. Moving right along, Baruch Shomer Haftachas Al Yisrael, bottom of page 14. Hashem keeps His promise. Again, we discussed in the past, is it such a great thing? Hashem keeps His promise. Amazing. Hashem's not going to keep His promise. Baruch Shomer Haftachas Al Yisrael says the, and in that paragraph we say, what promise? The promise to Avram Avinu, Bris Ben Abasarim, which ends off, Agam Es Hagoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, the nation that will subjugate you, Don Anochi. This is an amazing thought. It's quoted by many. Here in the Baruch Haim, he quotes it from Rav Saadia Gaon. It's a little thought, but it's so powerful. Everything we're talking about tonight, everything we talk about at the Seder, the whole process of 210 years, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Makos, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and everything, all of that is encompassed in two words in the Torah. Two words in the Torah, and that tells us everything. Don Anochi. I will judge them. Those two words is the source, the Avram Avinu. Those two words are the source for the entire Talich of Geula. Says of Saadia Gaon, and that's this paragraph right here. That pasuk is in this paragraph of Baruch Shomer. You know how many prakim there are in Navi about the Geula Hasida? Prakim and prakim, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, other Nevi'im. There are prakim and prakim. Can we fathom? If two words, Don Anochi, bring us the Makas and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, imagine what Don Anochi does. Imagine what more than prakim and prakim do. We can't fathom what the Geula is going to be like. Right, it relates back to what we said before, but we're still going to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But says the Baruch Haim, quoting Rav Saadia Gaon, right, we can't imagine. Ein l'sha'er ulatayr godel ha'oros v'atanugim, the amazing light and spiritual enjoyment, she'yizkulem b'nei Yisrael la'asilavo, be'es ha'gula shlema, what b'nei Yisrael are going to have. Right, we can't fathom it, as the Yeshayahu says, ayin l'rasa, look, you can't describe it. You can't describe it. And that's what we hope for. Right, why does the Torah talk about Olam Haba? You can't fathom it. It's like trying to explain physics to a dog. It doesn't have the kalim, but it's impossible. It doesn't matter how long and how well you try. Right? If we can't fathom it, we can't fathom it. Right? Rav Saadia Gaon, everything is going to be so much more if those two words accomplish so much. We lift up the cup and we say Vihisha Amda, page 15. Vihisha Amda, we lift up the cup, which goes right into Tsei Ulamad. Vihisha Amda, we've quoted in the past from the Meshech Chachma, from others. This is here from the Kamotzi Shalal Rav Agada. Vihi she'amda, what's the vihi? So many say, we lift up the wine, which symbolizes all the dinim derabanan that Chazal made to separate us, to keep us different. Right? Haman knew that wine is the symbol. You touch the wine, right? Vihi, we lift up the coast. Vihi she'amda lavosein avalanu. The vihi, this is what has kept us separate from all the other nations. And that said by the Meshech Chachma and others. But now we add, it says here in the Kamotzi Shalal Rav, and if one thinks that, well, maybe we should try to become more one with the nations. Obviously to be nice, but maybe we should intermarry. Maybe we should be more involved with the cultures. We tried it once before and it didn't work. Seulaman babikesh lavan ha'arami. Lasos li Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu married his daughters! And yet, didn't work out. Lavan wanted to uproot everything that we stood for. See, if we think the Vihisha Amda is not true, say Ulamad. Say Ulamad when we got closer than ever. We intermarried with them, and the Shver that Yaakov had was not supportive, to say the least. And that proves the Vihisha Amda is so required and so needed. Vihi Sha'amda. Remember the others, another Vihi, another Pshat we mentioned in the past, Vad the Vihi, Shri Mishra, Chabisha Kumshe Torah, Aser Sadibras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Vihi, other Pshatim of what the Vihi is. Okay, we're not going to review it now, but remember the Minchas Asher's thought on Seyul Lamad, on Lavan Aramami, on Alai. Alai Kaleska Bali, Alai Ayukulana. If you don't remember that, it's very, very worthwhile to review that thought. Okay, now we get into the psukim. The psukim where many times at many a seder people say, "Okay, start your engines, meet you at Dayenu," but really these are psukim that are crucial, and this is the ikar part of Magid according to many. Everything else was added in. Everything else was extra. But darshaning the psukim. Darshan the psukim is something that is crucial and is required. So one of the psukim, one thought on the psukim. One of the psukim that we darshan is HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs Makas Bechoros, Lo Ayide Malach, Velo Ayide Sarav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it himself. What's the emphasis? What's the emphasis? And let's just add on a question that we've dealt with also in the past. Moshe Rabbeinu. The lack of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. Right, Moshe had one little, Bayaminu Ba'ashem of Moshe Avdo. That's also one of the reasons given why we darshim sukkim from Kisavo. Because if it was Shmos, we'd have to mention Moshe Rabbeinu. He's in every other pasuk. And we don't want to mention Moshe Rabbeinu for whatever reason. So that's why we don't darshim use sukkim from Shmos. Okay, other reasons given. But Rabbi Sachs in his Haggadah, here on page 16, suggests another idea. The Torah was the first document in history to insist on the complete separation between God, nature, and mankind. The first document. Up until that point in history, man could be godly. Paro told everybody he was godly. Every leader up until that point tried to pretend that he was a god. And that's what they believed. There wasn't a break between man and God. There's God, and then there's man-God. And then there's Son of God. And then there's other things. The Torah was the first to say, no, there's God, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is man. Man could become godly with his actions, but he is not born with it. This apparently infinite distance nonetheless creates a possibility of communication. God speaks to mankind. Mankind speaks to God. Between them lies the bond of language. And he continues, amazingly, in the world of myth, there was no need for revelation. In Judaism, revelation is both necessary and possible. In the world of myth, I don't need revelation because I'm talking to God right now. Paro is God. But when it comes to Judaism, revelation is necessary and possible, and therefore the Seder and Pesach is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the message was about this chiluk. And that's what he continues and says, the drama of the plagues is a twofold confrontation. It is a battle between Paro and Moshe, but is it also a contest between the man who believes he is a god and God himself? And that's why it is crucial, not even at the cost of Moshe Rabbeinu takes one for the team, so to speak, in order to be able to teach this lesson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'atzmo is the only one that is involved and the only one that acts. Okay, moving right along to the Makos. To the Makos. So there is a minhag that many have of spilling out a little bit of wine from the cup. And there are so many different versions of this minhag. It's fascinating to think about where it came from. On the page of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshim talk about, oh, the pinky, because you only want to take out a little bit, and the fourth finger, because it's the kmitza, and oh, you give me the second finger, that's the one that's you, etzbelokimi. No, the thumb is the strongest. Some people, no, I'm not sticking my fingers into the wine, I just pour it on the side, and pour it off. Okay, everybody has their minhag. Fine. But, according to many, the most common reason that we pour some out is because of binfolo yivchal tismach. Right, even when our enemies are getting punished, we're not happy. So we have a cup of wine, but we pour a little bit out. Rav Schechter in the new Haggadah that just came out this year, Rav Schechter on the Haggadah, page 17 and 18, he quotes there that we know this principle of binfolo yivchal tismach, which is a pasuk in Mishlei, is a pasuk said also in Pirkei Avos. Shmuel HaKatan said binfolo yivchal tismach. And this is the only pasuk in Pirkei Avos where it's the only thing that a person says. Shmuel HaKatan said, "Binfolo yivchal tismach." He quoted the pasuk. What's the chiddush? You know, there are other psukim mentioned at the end in the sixth parak, but what's the chiddush? Okay, so and so says, "Bereishis bara Elokim." Binfolo yivchal tismach, and the answer given is that no, he lived binfolo yivchal tismach. He lived it. That was his essence, and that is why he quotes from Rav Kook and Rav Salvechik both. That is why that only Shmuel HaKatan was the one who was fit to write the bracha of Olam Al Shinim, the 19th bracha of the Amida, or he's the one, why Shmona Esrei is really not a good name for what we do, right? That he wrote it. Why is he the one that did it? Why do you need a Shmuel HaKatan to write V'lam al Shinim, which is all about Hashem save us from these fellow Jews who are getting us in trouble. Because he was the only one that could write it purely Lishma. Because he lived his life as totally bin follow Yifchal Tisbach. He got no satisfaction by his enemy falling. He felt no satisfaction by someone who he hated, who was endangering Am Yisrael. When somebody, when a Moser, when a Rodev was removed, his only satisfaction was that he was saved. Nothing to do with the fact that they were being punished. So he was the one that said it, he's the one that lived it, and he was the author of V'lam al Shinim, bin follow Yifchal Tismach. And that is what Rav Shechter ends off, the one who put this out, turning the page. We should all try to develop this attitude. We should keep this in mind, that this is a highly improper character trait, even when it comes to non-Jewish enemies who persecuted us for so many years. We do not drink l'chaim to their demise. We drink l'chaim to our freedom. And that's what we focus on. And that's why I think we mentioned in the past years, Menachas Chein, I think, Rabbi Albaum in his Haggadah writes, that is why when we celebrate Purim on the day that we rested from the war, right? Not on the day that we won the war, right? All the rest of the countries, they fought on the 13th and rested on the 14th. In Shushan, they fought on the 14th and rested on the 15th. So the day of Menucha is the day that we focus on because that's what we're celebrating, that we could go back to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that we won and they lost, but that we can now serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Menachas Chein notes, and that's the message of B'tfol Yivchal Tismach, why we pour out some wine from the coast. Okay, then we get up to Dayenu. Every line of Dayenu can be focused on. Probably the most popular question is, what good would it have been to come to Har Sinai without getting the Torah? Okay, that was the most popular one. The Achdus. Okay, we'll focus on another one. Hashem gave us the man. Ha'echilanu es ha-man. Rav Pinkus here in his Haggadah on page 19 and 20 discusses messages of the man. Hashem gave us the man. Rav Pinkus points out, and we're going to embellish a little bit, there is so much more to food than just being kosher. We have to check that it's kosher. Okay. But there's so much more. So much of Yadus has to do with eating. Or we should say, so much of being human has to do with eating, and Yadus has what to say about what we do when we eat. And your Pinkus notes, let's think about the man. Everybody got one portion. Hechilanu es haman. If we wanted seconds, it wasn't there. If we wanted to take more than was appropriate for us, it wasn't there. We didn't get less, but we didn't get more. There wasn't too many snacks in between mun bites. Right? It wasn't like we could just go to the local makolet in between and buy something. Right? Hashem gave us what we wanted, and we ate, and we held out to the next meal. Again, nobody's perfect. And we have our habits. But Rav Pinkus says, you know, a little bit to learn. Ve'achilanu es haman. HaTorah misaperes lanu al ha-sedarim ha-miyuchadim. Shoy b'lekita es haman. They took it. Nobody got more. Nobody got less. There's so much. There's even a whole sefer, the Rabbeinu Bachai al-Torah. He wrote a whole sefer, Shulchan Shel Arba, on about 20, 30 pages in the Kisvei Rabbeinu Bachai. All about eating. All about so many mitzvahs we do when we eat, and so many things that we can do wrong when we eat. The Shulchan Aruch talks about Hilchos Metzias HaPas, Hilchos Seuda. So Rav Pinkus just maybe says, reminds us when we, you know, maybe at the Seder, it's a little easier. He doesn't say this, but we're adding it. This is the only meal throughout the year that is in the middle of Hallel. Right? We start Hallel before the meal, we finish Hallel after the meal. Let's at least try to make this a Hallel Dicka meal. Let's make this a meal that we can be proud of. Like they make us a meal. And remember, it's the just as a halachic point, the afikomen could be the ikar mitzvah matzah, according to various Rishonim. The afikomen. But one second, we said the bracha of alachilas matzah a long time ago. Yeah, we're not supposed to talk alachilas matzah till korech. Okay, you can talk during the meal, and you should talk during the meal. But it shouldn't be something that's a major hesachadas. You know, going from alachilas matzah all the way through afikomen, you know, our meal should be, every Shabbos and Yontif meal should be focused and b'kdusho v'tahara, but especially the meal at the Seder, it should be something that we would be proud of having in the middle of Hallel. Okay, and Dayenu, as we know, we focus on each and every one because just saying thank you is not the highest level of hakara. right? The more details we say, if you eat at somebody's house, and we say, thanks, that was a great meal, that's one level. But if we say, thank you for the soup, oh, the kugel had something special in it, oh, wow, the challah, the more we mention, the more we were specific, the greater level reflection of hakara that is, and therefore, that's what we do by Dayenu. We do it specific, and then we do it all together. Okay, moving right along, two more thoughts, I think. So we get to Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kosh Lama Shlosha Dvarim, whoever doesn't say the following three, Lo Yatzadei Chavasa, Pesach Matzah Morar. And many Mepharshim, many Agadas ask, isn't this out of order? Shouldn't it be Morar first? Morar is the bitterness comes first, and then comes Matzah, Pesach, Pesach Matzah, whatever, but Morar should be first. So why is that not first? So here, you look in the Halakha Falibuv, Rabbi Avram Shor quotes from the Maisa Nisim from the Nesivas, Davar Nifla, Ki'ilu Hayu Makdimen Es Amarar. If we would first have the Marar, which is Mesamel the Shibud, we would get a misimpression. What do you mean? We know that there were two Shibudim in Mitzrayim. There was the Shibud Aguf, and it was the Shibud HaNefesh. We were physically in bondage, but as we mentioned earlier, Mitchilo the Avodah Zarah also, we were spiritually in bondage. We were at 49th level of Tumah. It was it. So says the Maisa Nisim, if it would be Marar than Pesach and Matzah, then we might think that it's only about the physical Shibud. We would only focus on that. The fact that we have the Pesach and the Matzah first makes us think, oh, Pesach, Matzah, wow, where were we in Mitzrayim? We didn't have this. Pesach and Matzah is a spiritual freedom. That would automatically remind us. Spiritual freedom. Then we have the Marar, then we could focus on the physical Shibud that was there, which we got out of. But that's why Mara is second, to make sure we focus on the second. He then adds on a point, which Bezhan will get back to on Shabbos, but just to mention it here, because it's here, Rabbi Avraham Shor mentions that we were on the 49th level of Tumah. But 1 second, didn't we have a promise from Avraham Avinu that we're going to get out? So what do you mean? There are many sources. Oh, we would never have gone out. Another second. What do you mean we would have gone out if Hashem promised? See, crows from Label Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger, son of Shlomo Eger, who became a chassid. So Label Eger says, we would have gone out, but we would no longer have been connected to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It would have been a Briah Chadasha. We would have gone out, but it wouldn't have been a Hemshech. And what we needed was to be a Hemshech of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Aleah. We don't want to just become a new nation now. What about all the work, the generations that went in earlier? That's why we needed to go out right then, and that was connected to the spiritual freedom, and that's why Maror is after Pesach and Matzah, to emphasize the spiritual freedom as well. And then, of course, that takes us to the end of Magid, and we get to the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, V'Golas Avoseinu, and we daven, Machlokas, I think Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, but we pass in the longest bracha. Right, Cain, we add in not only the bracha, we say, Cain, Yagi'enu, L'mo'adim, L'gal, Machirim. So Rav Asher Weiss, this is the last page, Rav Asher Weiss in the Haggadah, discusses why is it that we talk about all the Mo'adim every Yantif. Right, every Musaf of Shalosh Regalim. Yeah, why is it Musaf of Shalosh Regalim? Why shouldn't it be Musaf of Pesach? Why do we worry about Shavuos and Sukkos on Pesach? Let's just talk about Pesach. Bechaka, Matzot, Chaka, Shavuos, all three. What do we know three for? Just talk about one. So he explains, related to something that we discussed all the way at the beginning of this year. Really, each of the holidays represent another stage of an avoda that we do. If we could pick three, we discussed two earlier. If we could pick three stages of any avoda that we do, number one is removal of any covers or stains that we have, sur mera. Number two is hachana. Number three is the actual mitzvah. Three stages. Suggests Rav Asher Weiss, all three exist every day of our lives, but each of the three chagim represent one. Pesach is Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's removing the layers, removing the borders. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sukkis is the Hachana. Right? Sukkis is supposed to be right after Pesach. It's 6 months later, like the Torah says, because everybody's going in, we're going out to Nikar that it's L'Shem Mitzvah. But Sukkis really, logically, should be right after Pesach, because that's the Ananiya Kovet in the Midbar. We couldn't get the Torah right away. We had to prepare for it. 7 weeks. So Shavuos is the Hachana. I'm sorry, Sukkis is the Hachana. Shavuos is the goal. Shavuos is Kabbalah Satorah. Shavuos is the end game. Pesach, Sukkis, Shavuos are the three messages. So really every Yontif, we have to think about every message, even though each one of the Yomim Tovim highlight a different one. So as we have here, at the end of Magad, we say, Kein Yagienu L'Moadim L'Golam Acherim. Hashem should bring us to the other Moadim. What do you mean, bring us to another Pesach? No, we mentioned all the Moadim. Because all the Moadim have something to teach us in our Avoda every single day of our lives. And again, this is the what's supposed to bring us to the end, to Gal Yisrael, to the redemption HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings. And as we said before, the goal is Nirtza. The goal is getting to the stage where we're so overflowing with emotion of Hallel. And then after the meal, we go from focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim to we generalize. After the Seder, after the meal, we know Eliyahu HaNavi, Shvoch HaMascha, general Geula, and how we end off. I think I mentioned this a number of years ago, but just to end off, if the Seder ends off with Chad Gadya, a child song, so to speak, but it's not really a child song. So Magid starts off with the questions that the child asks, and the end of the Seder ends off with Chad Gadya, maybe. There's so much depth to each one, but on the surface, one might think it's something about a child. Because at the end of the day, we have to go through life, and Emunah boils down to a certain childlike trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the goal of Pesach. The goal of Pesach is to come for us to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. Like a child, always trust the parent, no matter what's going on. The goal that we start with, that we end with, is for us to recognize and realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our mother, always with us. And B'ez Hashem, we should be zocha for that, to feel that closeness, for all of Am Yisrael to have the closeness, and B'ez Hashem, for us not to have to invite during Halach Ma'anya, but for us to be able to invite way before the Seder, with the Nimnin, with the Karban Pesach, and we should be zocha to all be there in Yerushalayim.